Well, guys, we are in a series on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7, and we're still in chapter 5 right now, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. But while you're turning there, I think there's a misconception sometimes about the eternal life. We say, I remember growing up as a youth, and we had a place over in the Forest Park area called the Youth Ranch, and we would go to the Youth Ranch, and basically, we got the hell scared out of us. You know, in other words, it always ended. No matter you're singing, you're praising, you're doing all this stuff, but at the end is, if you died tonight, do you know where you're going to go? And it's like, home? You know, it's like, no, I don't know. Where am I going to go? And it's like, you don't want to go to hell, right? And so sometimes the gospel, Jesus Christ came and did this work at the cross so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. That we could have eternal life with God the Father. And it was something that was going to happen down the road. And the problem with that thinking is oftentimes it doesn't change the way that we live. In other words, it's something down the road. And while that's true, we do have a place. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back to get you. But Jesus also didn't just give us a cross. He brought us a kingdom. And in that kingdom, he gives us certain things that as citizens of God's kingdom, we are supposed to be different. We're supposed to live different as citizens of God's kingdom than citizens of the world. I think there are many people that claim to be followers of Jesus. Hey, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. But when you look at their life, there's nothing about their life that says that I follow Jesus. My life doesn't reflect living more holy. My life doesn't, I'm not a life of a great steward. It's not a life of showing compassion. There's nothing in their life that shows that, wait a minute, what makes you different than anybody out there? Because the world, let me tell you this, everybody out there is acting like they're supposed to. I mean, if we didn't have church, if there were no moral laws, you could go and do whatever you want, right? Yes? Yeah. So they're doing what they're supposed to do. Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we living like God has called us to live? And I think a lot of people that say, yeah, I claim to be a Christ follower, maybe we're not a Christ follower. We're like, I guess I was when I was at the Youth Ranch, you know, as a teenager, that I was a Christ believer. I believed, you know, that Jesus came for me, and that was enough. I didn't have to change the way I lived because, man, I walked down the aisle. I said that little sinner's prayer, you know. I got baptized and many times, you know, because I had to keep getting dunked because it was like maybe not taken. I don't know. So the point is that I was a believer, but I wasn't a Christ follower. Do you see the difference? You know, we look at John 3:16, a bedrock of our whole Christian faith. God so loved the world. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us so that we wouldn't perish, but we would have eternal life. And some people just hold on to that and say like, well, okay, good. Jesus brought this cross. Jesus died for me for my sins past, present, and future. Woo-hoo, I can do whatever I want. So I believe that Jesus did that, but there's nothing in my life that says, you know what, I also brought a kingdom, and you're not living like a citizen of the kingdom. I think Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving us a picture of what it looks like to live in his kingdom, to be a citizen of his kingdom. Let me give you a little bit of history. There, the Old Testament, that was the only Bible that they had in Jesus' time. The New Testament, which is the life of Jesus and the life of the disciples afterwards, the life of the church, that wasn't written yet. Okay, it was kind of being written in real life, in real time, while Jesus was here. The problem is, what Jesus saw as the law was the Old Testament. And the first five books of the law, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, are the law that was given to the people. There were ceremonial laws, how you are supposed to offer sacrifices. There were civil laws, like if I had a dispute against somebody and I had to sue somebody or whatever, there were civil laws as well. There were also laws on morality, like don't kill anybody, honor your parents, you know, those kind of things. There were three main factions in the religious time of the Hebrew people. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, and there were the scribes. Now, the scribes were like the lawyers. They were like the lawyers of the religious law. I mean, they knew the law. And one of the problems they had was they didn't appreciate what Jesus was doing. In other words, you know, Jesus was gathering this huge following, and people were following him, and they were like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. You guys are looking at this guy as some kind of religious leader, but he doesn't follow the law. And God's law was immutable. You couldn't break it. In fact, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were so afraid of breaking God's law, they made hundreds of laws to stop them from breaking God's law. I mean, like, before you could eat, there were certain washings that you had to do. And I'm not talking about just washing your hands, making sure they were clean. There were a whole set of rules that you had to follow so you wouldn't break any of God's rules. And the problem is, those laws that man created, they saw them almost as biblical as God's laws himself. If we are going to follow God's laws, if we are going to call ourselves Christ followers, then we have to look at all kinds of issues today. What does Jesus say about marriage, about sex, about money, about compassion, about community, about anything? Because if he is the Lord of our lives, then we are to live in his kingdom and to follow his direction. But the people, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes are saying, "Wait, whoa, this guy's not religious." Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. I'm just going to read this. You can look at it up here since you've got your finger in Matthew 5. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Okay, they came from the seat of the religious government. Okay, they came to Galilee where he was at. Remember, they didn't want to come to Galilee. They didn't want to come to Samaria. That's where the ugly people were. We don't want to be with them. That's the unwanted, you know. We don't want to go there. But they came from Jerusalem, and this is what they said. Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? In other words, why are they breaking the laws that we have set up? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? In other words, they're coming to them and saying like, well, here's the thing, your disciples are just like breaking the rules. There are certain rules before they can eat, and they're not following them, and you're not making them follow them. How dare you? Why do they break them? And Jesus is like, hey man, we're on the way to Taco Bell. We don't even care, you know, because these are rules you made up, not that God made up. And because of your traditions, you're holding them almost as an idol over all these people. And they're thinking, Jesus isn't righteous. He doesn't follow the law. So let's pick it up in Matthew 5, verse 17 and 18. And let's see what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, last week we were the salt, and we were the light, and we were the city on the hill. Let's see what he says now. He goes, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." In other words, Jesus is saying, even the smallest dot, even the smallest mark in God's law will not pass away at all until heaven and earth pass away. Jesus is saying, look, you're saying I don't follow the laws. Jesus is saying, look, I don't just follow the law. I came to fulfill the law. John 5 says this, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life." Remember, we got the hell scared of us, so I want eternal life. You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness to me. Now, remember what scriptures he's talking about? He's not talking about the New Testament. We look at the New Testament and see Jesus all over there. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's saying, that testifies about me and who I am. From Genesis all the way to Malachi. And I'm not just talking about the prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, where they have these messianic prophecies in there that say things about me. I'm talking about the scriptures themselves. The Bible testifies about me. You think about Father Abraham. Abraham showed his obedience by what? Offering his son Isaac. God told him to offer his son. He offers his son, and at the last minute, the angel stops him. And it says he was obedient. But Jesus offered himself and was obedient even to death. He is the better Abraham. Moses, we think of Moses in the Old Testament. He delivered the people from slavery. God says, go and set my people free. And he did, but Jesus came and set us free from the slavery of sin, and he brings us into the promised land of God's kingdom forevermore. He is the greater Moses. We think of David. What a wonderful story. Little kid slings a rock at a big giant, knocks him over and kills him, cuts his head off. He slayed that giant to save his people. Yet Jesus slays the giants of sin, death, and hell in our lives. He is the better David. We think of the high priest, where once a year he would go into the Holy of Holies and offer a sacrifice for the atonement of all of the people's sins. Yet Jesus makes an atonement on the cross once for all. He is the better high priest. Jesus is the better temple. You know, they're worshiping in this building. And he goes, you think that's good? He says, tear this temple down, and in 3 days it's going to rise again. Jesus is the better temple. Jesus is the better Israel. Israel was set free, and they were told to follow God, but they were tempted all along the way, and they disobeyed time after time after time. But Jesus was tempted by Satan himself and never gave in. He was obedient. He is the better Israel. He didn't just come to follow the law. He came to fulfill the law. I heard it put this way. Jesus isn't just a point in the Bible. Like, okay, here's the history of Israel. Here's the history of the kings. Here's the history of all this stuff. Now we get to Jesus, and he's a point in the Bible. Jesus is the point of the Bible. Verse 19 and 20. Let's see what Jesus says about this. Therefore, he says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a lot in there, and I want to unpack this for you for just a moment. I hear a lot of times, not a lot of times, but I hear sometimes from Christ followers, from people that say that they're Christians, that, you know, whenever you talk to them about something, they say, "Whoa, hold on, man, my faith is private, okay? You know, it's between me and God. You know, hey, man, why aren't you in church? Oh, me and Jesus are right. You know, we've got this thing, right? It's private." Let me tell you this, your faith is never private. Never. Your faith is personal. Yeah, it's between you and God, but it's never private. In other words, me and Margie got married, and if I would have said to Margie on our wedding day, "Hey, honey, I love you. I'm glad we're married, but can we just take separate cars everywhere? Can we just stay in different rooms because I don't want to really be seen with you, but you know what? I really love you, and I'm devoted to you." Okay, some of you are laughing about that because it's so ridiculous, but that's what we do with God sometimes. Our faith, our devotion to one another is apparent because of the way we live. Your faith is on display every single day that you live. By your words, people are judging what you believe. If you hang around with me, you know the things that I'm passionate about. If you hang around with me, you know the things that I'm devoted to. If you hang around with me, you know you don't have a life because you've been hanging around with me. But the problem, the thing is, it's never private. Oh, it's personal, but it's not private. Anyone that claims to be a citizen of the kingdom, to be a Christ follower, but we refuse to obey the voice of the king, and we tell others to disregard that, we will be least in the kingdom. When we look at churches in our society today that say, hey, it's okay if you do that because love wins, you're least in the kingdom because you're telling people it's okay to break God's law. When it comes to money, compassion, sex, anything, our home life, if we say that we are a Christ follower, then we ought to do and say what Christ says, not what's going to sound good to people. And again, look at verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, these are the guys that held to the letter of the law religiously. They almost made that an idol. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Jesus, you mean I have to be as holy as these guys appear to be? I can't do that. Even Paul, when the early church started coming around and saying, well, you know, all these new Christians, Gentiles coming in, they have to follow all the laws. They have to do all these things. And Paul's like, why are you telling them to do that? You can't even do that. But what if the righteousness that Jesus is talking about is different? What if the righteousness in this context is our faith? If you look at verse 24, I tell you, unless your faith exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, that's the context here, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. If we can't do it on our own, how are we going to do that? Unless citizens of God's kingdom manifest a different type of obedience. Not on the outside. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes were so good at that. Look at the things that I do. I'm so holy. And when you look at them, you think like, wow, I can't ever measure up to that. But Jesus is talking about something different. He's talking about from the inside out. He's talking about a gospel of grace because we can't make it on our own. Jesus is saying, well, hey, I am the new covenant because of me. And it's not just the letter of the law, it is the spirit of the law. Don't just try to work harder or try harder because you're never going to outwork the Pharisees. You're never going to outwork the Sadducees. You're never going to be as smart when it comes to religious law as the scribes. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about changing you from the inside out. Jeremiah 31 says this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law where? Within them. And I will write it where? On their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. In other words, I'm going to make a new Israel. And the laws aren't going to be, you know, Charlton Heston coming down with big stone tablets. Like, here's the law. It's not going to be on stone. It's not going to be on paper. It is going to be written on our very hearts. And the Holy Spirit gives us the strength and the wisdom to live in God's laws. Ezekiel says the same thing. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. In other words, I'm going to put my very law in you, and it's going to go from the inside out. You're not going to be looking like it religious on the outside with dead men's bones. We're going to be Christ followers because he puts his law in our hearts. God is saying, in all of this that he is sending Jesus, and he will create a new people, and they will be his people, and he will be their God, not because we obey the law perfectly, but because Jesus obeyed the law perfectly. And because of his mercy and his grace and his sacrifice, we receive a new heart and a new spirit. So Jesus tells us to come, and I will give you a new heart and spirit, not on the outside, but from the inside out. I'm going to give you a deeper obedience. It's not about just zipping off to heaven after you pass away. It's a distinctly different kingdom that's living under God's laws. You want to know what that looks like? Do you want to know what that looks like? Well, come next week and I'll tell you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the gift of your word, the living word. And Father, I pray that it would just plant its seed in the fertile soil of our hearts, that we would become Christ followers and not just Christ believers. That we would live our lives in obedience, not just hearing the word, but living out our faith. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.